We continue to review the governor's recs as far as bonding requests are concerned with the presentations from the Veterans Home Board. You will see, members, in your book, the fact that the agency has, in fact, of course, requested it more than what the governor has accepted. And what I've asked the Veterans Home Board to do is to present primarily in detail the governor's rec, those projects, and then to give us an idea of what their intentions are on the other projects. I would prefer not to get into, because there will be bills forthcoming in each of those, that whatever the decisions may be made. So that'll be sort of the agenda for the day. With that, welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. I'm Dan Williams. I'm a Veterans Home Board member from Vadnais Heights, and it's a delight to be here. I'm joined by Sandy Larson, who is the Director of Public Affairs for the Minnesota Veterans Home.
Okay. Please proceed.
As the chair said, that we're here to present certainly our bonding initiatives within the governor's recommendations. The needs within our proposal were identified through formal studies, and the most current study is consistent with the previous studies. We also took the time and the care to go to the veterans, and the veterans community communicated to us what they wanted and what they needed. We also find that what we've identified within projects is consistent with long-term task force recommendations, looking at alternatives for skilled care. We want to develop, on campuses, continuum of care to allow our population to age in place, and as their conditions would deteriorate, that they would not have to move to another campus. And most importantly, we'd like to take advantage of alternative funding mechanisms wherever appropriate, and leverage those. And our projects, both with asset preservation and our projects that we will not go into detail with today, are all approved by the board. Our goals in developing our projects are fivefold. Goal number one, we want to take care of what we have. And you see the top of that list is asset preservation. A couple of additional projects, Minneapolis kitchen and dining room renovation, and Silver Bay, the clinical renovation. Goal number two, want to develop specialized care units in all facilities for the care of Alzheimer's and dementia-related illnesses. Alzheimer's has been identified as our agency's number one diagnosis. Again, the projects outside, and we won't go into detail with, but special care unit addition at Laverne and at Fergus. Goal number three, we want to be in a situation of managing our waiting list effectively, and Mr. Chair, I see that there's a squint look, and I've got the bifocal thing going as well, so the bottom line, this is a snapshot in time of 20 January 2004. The waiting list that we were looking at across the system totaled 570.
Mr. Williams, you could. I think that's an important chart. Perhaps you could supply that to our committee, and we'll distribute it to the members.
We'll be done, Brian.
Oh, you got it? Oh, I'm sorry. It's in the package that we had. Sorry. We already have it. Never mind.
A little over. Don't need to squint. You need to go after.
Oh, well, maybe we could work something out, but we'll explode it.
Where's mine?
Goal number three, want to develop initiatives and programs for dealing with, as I said, our growing waiting list in Minneapolis. There's an adult daycare that we're looking at, and 21-bed in Fergus. Goal number four, want to bring all of our facilities up to today's long-term care for our construction and standards, and again, the kitchen in Minneapolis, kitchen and dining, and clinical renovation. I just might add at this particular point with goal number four, there are situations where we have compliance, citations in Silver Bay, and certainly the facility in Minneapolis, both a standard as well as a health situation or safety. Thank you. And our goal number five, we want to leverage federal funding. So again, beyond the governor's recommendation, we have some projects that, again, bills will be introduced where we can leverage federal funding. Again, that's within your packet, but we're not going to elaborate on that today. With Minneapolis, pardon me, the drain pipe replacement in Building 17, see the governor's recommendation there. The drain pipe replacement and asset preservation, that's what we're talking about today primarily. I will point out that the other projects with the numbers you see on this particular slide, and with that we'll move forward to the drain pipe.
Standing, Mr. William, we have a question. Representative Abler, do you have a question at this point?
I get too put on the road on the waiting list thing. I've actually been able to have a look at it here. about my glass. sorry, I need him now. Just the waiting list, I presume that's non-duplicated across the system, so people haven't applied to go into one place. I got a couple questions. And then are these folks that are currently in another unit, a non-veterans type unit elsewhere across the state, are these in some house at their mom's house, or are they waiting to get into anywhere?
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, the waiting list, again, is a point in time, and that was January 20th. It fluctuates. I really imagine it can fluctuate on a daily basis, and we get the reports weekly. The sources, conceivably someone can be on a waiting list from one home, moving from one home to another, or can be outside of our system. I don't know if we have a breakdown readily available of, you know, where they are at that particular point in time. Sandy, you know.
Ms. Larson?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe that primarily what you see as far as our waiting list in Minneapolis is those, because they know that there is such a large waiting list, a lot of people are just on that waiting list because they know it's large. So when we go through there, we've kind of identified that to be an issue, but most of those people tend to come from other nursing homes, or they're being cared for currently at home. We do find that Silver Bay, for example, the community tends to take care of their family members longer than what you find in the cities.
Okay. Thank you. Please proceed.
Our Minneapolis drain pipe replacement, Building 17, see that it contains the majority of beds within our system for skilled care. Bullet point number two, I'd like to stress is perhaps the most important bullet point on this slide. The analysis clearly shows that there's a 50% failure of waste pipes. And some of you may recall that the initial estimate was higher than what's coming in now. And I think that's because of good assessment. You know, when you do your first cut assessment, you know, this is what we know as point in time. So the good news in the second half of this bullet point, the good news is the cost is a little less than initially estimated. But the bad news is we've determined that the failure rate is significant, and the project needs to be completed as soon as possible. The premature failure, third bullet point, is caused by graphite corrosion, and the pipes are susceptible to this type of corrosion, so we need to replace them, and we're looking at replacing both the horizontal and the vertical pipes with this particular project.
Excuse me, Mr. Williams. When I was visiting the veterans home, sort of the study of this was kind of in process, and you had actually had some. It was a little hard because it's kind of hard to look inside. But this amount is a result of assessing the individual piping and so forth, so you have a pretty good handle now of where the failures are. Because I believe these were cast iron pipings, what the situation was.
That is correct.
And Mr. Williams, do we have any other buildings? I mean, this is where it was particularly acute because you actually had some failure, but do we have any other buildings that may be susceptible to this in the future?
We do have another resource here. You know, my answer is I don't know, but we have our project manager, or if we can move on, I can get...
Why don't we follow up later, because okay. I understand. If anybody's seen that the pipes were... corroding from the inside out, and you suddenly have a failure through the walls and so forth. So, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Samuelson.
Yes. Mr. Williams, when you talk about failure, exactly what do you mean? Is that there's seepage into the ground, which creates brownfields or something on that order?
It's my understanding that failure is the pipe can leak at various spots. So obviously, depending on where they're leaking, it may be in the building. It could very well be in the ground. For more detailed answer, again, we could have our one of our other staffers here go into more detail. But failure means is the pipe, there is a break in the pipe.
Okay.
Representative Samuelson, would you like a little further description? I'm sure that we could be taken through a metallurgical description complete if we'd like. maybe if you don't mind, just a quick pause. I think we have some time if we could, just to clarify on this.
Can Bob the Builder fix it?
Yes,
I'm not sure how many around the table know who that was on there. Those of us with young children know that Bob the Builder, of course.
Yeah, I think we're getting into dangerous grounds here where amateurs are trying to fix something. Let's let the professionals tell us what you got going on. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Chairman Bradley, I'm Ed Wright with the Veterans Homes Board. I'm the facilities director for the agency. Participating in the design and the rework of the documents. We had a large estimate at first, like Dan had mentioned, and then we did a study. We replaced one stack entirely up through the building, and then we documented all the details, all the failures, all the issues that we had with that one stack. And then now we've completed the documents, and we've lowered our estimate because the failure is not still there. We still have recognized that over 50% of the pipes in that building are near failure. So we kept the project on an emergency basis, that we need to move ahead immediately with this project. And but in the long and the short is that our figure that we need for this project is less than what originally estimated.
And when the project is done, will you have replaced all of the suspect drains, or are you doing sort of the critical areas?
Yes, that's correct. We did do an assessment on the entire sewage piping all the way down through the building and as it discharges away from the building. The piping that goes under the concrete, it's a slab-on-grade building with the sewer piping intersecting above the first floor ceiling. So all the piping down to the concrete, if you can visualize, down to the base, will be replaced under this project, and it'll be entirely new piping.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's proceed, please.
The next slide, we're looking at asset preservation. Here's a detailed of projects in there by system. These are prioritized by facility. Project within facility, and bottom line, 11 million. And again, not to take the time to go through item by item, yeah.
I'm wondering if, in fact, it ended up that you did receive what the governor's recommended, which is 6 million of that 11 million. Has the board sort of gotten to the point of deciding what you do, or because you said these are in prioritized? Would the implication be that you just draw the line at some place, or is it
that's
Mr. Williams?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, members
Michelle?
Of the committee, there is a larger print version of this asset preservation summary in the fiscal section that I passed to you yesterday, and I might point out that the list of $11 million contains 2004 to 2008 projects. So we're covering a four-year time period instead of just a two-year time period, and that might help expand the understanding of where they're going.
Thank you.
Let me make sure that from the summary sheet, it shows $11 million in 2004. and then six in 2006 and six in 2008. And the governor's recommendations in the out-year plan estimates do include the $6 million in each of those bienniums, but $6 million in the 2004.
And from what I understand, Mr. Rickenbaugh, that some of these will begin and have a life that will start in this biennium and move forward just past the two-year time period. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Williams.
I have here at the table with us Doug Rickenbaugh, he is the director of financial planning for the Veterans Home Board. He can give you a more detailed description.
All right, Mr. Rickenbaugh, would you introduce yourself, please, also, and if you could comment to what we're just discussing?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm Doug Rickenbaugh, financial director for the Veterans Homes. Just to try to clarify, the $11,006,000 request was for a two-year period, fiscal 5 and fiscal 6. And we were projecting that 2 years following that, there would be another $6 million request, and following that to be another $6 million. So the governor has recommended $6 million, but we're just talking a two-year period here. And so these items on the list are just for a two-year period.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, our totals by facility, and projects beyond. So, again, as I said, Mr. Chair, that we're looking at the asset preservation and the governor's recommendation, but we do have other projects queued up that requests will come in the future for those projects.
Well, Mr. Williams, let's first of all, are there any questions regarding those items that are in the governor's recommendations? President Davis?
Just a comment, and I think it's succinct and nice, and I actually like the last page where you did that about, you know, let's be sure we look after these folks that are willing to give their life. And that overrides all the discussion. And the governor had some recommendations at the end of your last frame. Talking about take care of what we have and special care units, and then talk about the waiting list thing. If I can just comment about that, it would help us a lot. As it's been a really lean time for the state here. We're choosing to cut seniors or people that have great needs, and certainly want to make sure that all your true needs are addressed. And the veterans would want nothing more or less, either just to be cared for in a proper way. And you mentioned some even care for themselves longer in their own homes, probably out of kind of a lot of reasons, but I think that's just how they're wired. But this waiting list question, if you could, when you come back next year and the budget year is going on, we're deciding how much to allocate for beds and so on, we really need to know, one, if it's a duplicated list. Second is if the people who are on the list are being cared for elsewhere in some other nursing home or other care facility, if they're having home care and those kinds of questions, and so we know what we're supplanting, and so you can really know, and it would help you to know for your planning what you really need, and in a kind way, but that would help us in our planning. And so since the governor made the governor's list, worrying about the waiting list, you could help us by having a really solid number that we could say there is indeed 512 people who need to be served today, or in fact it's 50. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Trumba?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How long ahead of time do people usually put their name on the waiting list?
Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't know if there's if we have an average. Again, I think it goes by home. Certainly Silver Bay is a home, as an example, that it's the facility for the community. And Minneapolis has the largest waiting list, so again, veterans and spouses are much more aware of the homes within their facility. So my guess would be as they start planning, or their children, start planning, or a loved one starts planning for them, Some may put their names on the list earlier, similar to what Sandy Larson said regarding Minneapolis. I'm not sure if we have an average lead time. That's something that I could ask the board staff to look into if we have it and supply that in the future.
Mr. Blank, can you comment on the right column? There's an approximate weight column, and it speaks to sort of, I'm assuming for the people that are on it, what they might anticipate for the length of their wait. That wouldn't necessarily tell you when people signed up, but it would give you an idea anyway of kind of how long. Is that, am I reading that correctly, Ms. Larson? You look like you want to respond.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, the waiting list that you see to the side of that column, I don't have my glasses on either. But that amount, or those totals, what we're seeing, I believe, at Minneapolis and throughout most of the homes, Minneapolis, as an example, because they're larger, about, I believe, 10 to 12.
No, that's correct. Just to read it off, in Minneapolis for the skilled care, what it says is limited assistance care is 10 to 12 months. Higher care levels also 10 to 12 months. Limited assistance care 6 to 12 months, and higher care levels 10 to 12. So it looks like it's in that 10 to 12 or somewhat less.
Correct.
Thank you. Representative Trim?
Mr. Chair, this is not an uncommon thing for all nursing homes where they put their names on several, but I was just wondering, as a widow of a veteran, how soon I had to sign up.
Well, we, Mr. Chair, Representative, Williams. We trust we're going to have you for a long time. moving forward to the...
I'm sorry, excuse me, Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a comment on waiting lists coming from a nursing home background. Is they're pretty fluid. And by fluid, I mean that you may have 10 people that need a bed one day, and the next day there may be no one because they've gone someplace else. So it is a real fluid type of system, and very important to keep on top of it. But it does change daily.
Yeah, and I think Representative Abram may have a good recommendation. As we, if when we're getting into budget times, it would be helpful to profile this. I mean, if it's people who are putting their names on early, like Representative Shemba, I won't worry too much about her. But if it's somebody who's absolutely need care right now, I would worry. But we can follow up that. Representative Nornes.
Mr. Chair, I just had a question dealing with the waiting list also. Is there a priority on that list? In other words, is it strictly those first on are first admitted, or do they also assess the need as far as the health is concerned? Is there any flexibility in the admissions as far as who gets in off that waiting list?
Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chair, Representative, to my knowledge, it's first come, first serve.
Interesting point. Because if Representative Kramer does put her name on right now.
Well, does she have to go?
That's what I'm wondering. When your name comes, you're in. Okay, I'm sorry not to make light of it, but I think it is an interesting question, the triage. Mr. Williams?
Yep. Mr. Chair, Representatives, I think at this point a few things have been said by representatives here that I think illustrate the point of one of the other projects of adult daycare. One, managing our list and knowing the source or the feeder systems would certainly help and help us identify duplication. And as Representative said, that the list is very fluid. And when we have veterans and spouses that are able to remain in their own homes and go for a day or 4 days or 3 days for different portions of the day, that may help us with our waiting list as well. So, again, that's one of those other projects.
To the members, and then I think this would be also a message to you and your board, Mr. Williams. Our intention at this point is to hear what I would sort of call the supplemental or additional projects requested that are not within the governor's bill in the week of February 24th. So my suggestion would be that, and I know there are some of the projects that are already sort of in process. I've heard from some of the members already. But to the extent, and that's going to be my next question in terms of what you expect on the additional requests, but my suggestion is please, if you have authors, make sure that they're working on those and get those in very, very, very soon. Now, if you could please give us sort of a view now of the additional requests that were made by the Veterans Homeless, and are you expecting to request in each of those, or where are you in the state of playing as far as the additional areas? Mr. Williams?
Yeah, we have our list of additional projects, and they have been prioritized. Sandy Larson can tell you the detail of where we are in the process. And
thank you. Ms. Larson?
Representative Bradley, members of the committee, each of those other projects, with the exception of one, have authors who are interested. They're either in the process right now or bills have been introduced.
And the accept one, is that just a matter of finding an author, or is that something that you decided not to do?
No, it's because we haven't
okay. found So the point is that you do plan to be back to this committee with all of those projects to be before us.
That's correct.
And we'll certainly give every one of those a fair hearing, so you'll have a chance to describe and help this committee decide about priorities.
Thank you.
The note that's been given to me is that at least as of this day, we haven't seen any of those bills yet, so... My suggestion stands. Get those authors moving. Any questions about the other areas? I think it really wouldn't merit too much discussion of us trying to go in to evaluate those until we have the full proposal before us when those bills come. So, you know, for the questions, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for the guests that are here with us today, not only for these projects, but I think as Representative Abler sort of hinted, also for the services that you've given to make this a great country. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Committee, thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Abler, having read and carefully reviewed, I'm assuming you'd be willing to move the minutes of prior meeting.
Well,
thank you very much. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Just a reminder to members that... on Tuesday, February 17th, because we are sharing time, we're going to discuss the Medicare bill and some of the interactions, particularly on prescription drugs with the programs that we currently have. I think it's a very, very important area because I think we may have to make some decisions this legislative session on that interaction, even short term. It turns out that the Senate has a hearing on the same topic, so we're having to get started a little bit early, so I would ask you, we're going to start at 8 o'clock, and we need to start on time on that date, so, Representative Huntley?
Matt, it's my understanding in the federal Medicare bill, where this does not relate to pharmaceuticals, there is a requirement for regional HMOs, which would mean multi-state. We currently don't have any in Minnesota.
I understand.
And I'm wondering how that, if somebody's going to discuss that, or how that's going to work.
In the limited time that we have, Representative, on that meeting, I wanted to focus on prescription drugs, because okay. I think we may have to. That one is a matter of interest, but I don't know what is as compelling for this committee and for the Health and Human Services. We may have a chance to discuss, because I know some of the health plans have come to me about that, but I don't know if anybody sort of figured out exactly what that means. Nobody of our providers is really in a regional business, so.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a fair number of complications with the Medicare bill that haven't all been sorted out yet. But one I think that we really need to attend to is how it interacts with our prescription drug programs. And we're getting quite a catalog of those. Any questions, members? Just as another reminder, we are working diligently to have the delete all for health file 1681 available by noon. If we miss that by a few minutes, my apologies. And it's not the staff's fault. The staff is working very hard, but maybe Mr. Chun, if you can comment. I think we're close. But I need a chance to review it before it sort of goes to final print. But can you give us a kind of an update, Mr. Chairman?
Members, we're currently working on it. And when I go back up, I'll check on the problem.
We'll let you go.
We'll shoot for that time.
Certainly. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions, members? Any none? We're adjourned. Have a nice weekend.